Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I want to say we had one of the most incredible 2 weeks probably in the history of mankind. Occupy the PGA was off the chain. We had so many good speakers that we couldn't even put one above the other than our keynote speaker, O'Malley Yesitali. He did a tremendous job. He told a story, you see, that don't get. We have to tell our story. And if we don't tell it, then somebody else will tell it, and they won't tell it right. It was so, so amazing. Our death march, probably a six-block race, it took us almost 2.5 hours to complete that. Almost 2.5 hours to complete the death march with the casket and everything. Oh, it was just off the chain. And yesterday, the Bidenhaber water crisis was exposed once again. We had people coming in. We had the attorney who's with us, who helped us file the petition, you see. And we utilized him so to make sure that they know that we had everything covered. Then we had our engineer, Elin, who is so incredible. You know, she's been there. And then we goes to our attorney, Alice Jennings, Carl Jennings. And then they brought in Anika Martin, attorney from New York. And we had an attorney from California. We had it all. I mean, it was a good turnout too. Great turnout. Everything was good. But the key thing is people have to understand, you know, the work of the Bidenhaber Community Water Council. That's right. This right here, this, when you see someone with a T-shirt on like this, that means they're part of the Bidenhaber Community Water Council. They are the ones who are out here doing the work. They're the ones who actually exposed the governor and this mayor. Exposed them, undressed them, made them take off their drawers. That's how it was. And then they tried to look for a fall guy, hoping that they could find a skeleton in my closet. I tell you one thing. You know, when this thing all came about, when I blew the whistle on them, it was a black man. If you blow the whistle on white folks in a sample, you in for trouble. You're looking for trouble. This is how they think. You are looking for trouble, you know, because as a black person, you are not supposed to blow the whistle on the evil empire, the evil white empire, along with their symbols, you see. And if you do, they are going to come after you. That's how they figure. But here, come on. You see, whatever you got, we can withstand it. And the bottom line, we have so many people who want to do right, you see. We have so many people who want to do right. And it kind of like erase all the evil and wickedness that's going on today. Now, who would want to see a whole community infected with lead and not have the lead removed? Who? What type of person? You see, but I say this, if this was not an election year, I don't believe we'd be able to get all this done, regardless of how much pressure we put on her. I don't believe it. We were fortunate that this was an election year When you see God tells a story. It's just like Joseph in the Bible. See, when his brothers put him into that pit, you see, he had to be in that pit. He had to be sold, you see. Because he couldn't, if he was not sold, he could not have saved his family, his brothers, his father. So what they're doing now, they're trying to destroy, but all this can't come about unless we do what we're supposed to do. We have to stand up to evil, regardless who it is. I know that black folks, the busiest people is in the whole wide world. There's nobody busier than black people. Nobody. They always got something to do. Always. Which is nothing. That's why we accomplish nothing. See, my belief is that there's no rules here. The only thing we're trying to do is accomplish something. That's it. You see, it's not just one thing. It's everything. Being black, a person, like, here's what Chris Rock said, I thought this was huge. And also, Chantel said the same thing. He said there's not one person, white person, in this whole world who would trade places with him. And he's rich. He said there's not one single white person. If they knew the hell that black people go through every single day, it's always something. Look at that court system. There's never no justice. We can't get justice. Even, let's talk about my case. They're saying by putting me in prison with no charge, that is not a constitutional violation. That is the most unheard of thing anybody ever heard of. How could that be so? So what you telling me, if a person was walking down the street and the police picked him up, took him to jail, made up some evidence that was not even a crime, and sent him to prison, not a constitutional violation, is it that because I'm black? Or because the person is black? What if a white person was walking down the street and the police arrested him, made up a charge that don't exist? Would that be a constitutional violation? Would that be? Ask yourself. See, they got different laws for black people, different laws for black people. And the reason they're able to get away with that, we never come together. We're 50 million strong. 50 million strong. And we won't stand up. You got 40 million of them working with them against you. What type of person that lives in a community will want his family, the neighbor's family, their children, to drink this water with lead in. See, it's not just the lead. It's the bacteria in the water also that they didn't mind black people drinking. On Friday, I had a meeting with the EPA and Eagles. I asked them specifically, would you allow your children, white folks, to drink this water with the lead and the bacteria? He paused for about 2 minutes, because if he said he would not, he would get fired. Finally, he said, under certain circumstances, and it went through all that mumbo-jumbo with me. It didn't mean nothing to nobody. But I got my answer by him pausing. Because if he would have said he would not, he would no longer have a job there. Because one thing I have learned to do is put pressure on people. I make a man be a man. and a woman be a woman. Because I'm coming. This thing is bigger than a river of pink. You see? And here's something that people need to know. You know, the opinion of 200 million men is of no value if they do not know the subject or do not have any knowledge about the subject. 200 million men. Now listen to this. Is of no value when they do not know anything about the subject matter. You see? So when you talk, make sure you know something about the subject. That's crucial. That's what we need to know. It's time that we stand together and get rid of all these sambos. We might have a war inside the war. First, we got to get rid of the sambos. Then we got to go to war. We're at war right now. And it's not a very, very pretty situation. But like I said earlier, you know, there's no rules here. The only thing we're trying to do is accomplish something, which is very, very, very important. The Benhaba Community Water Council, I give kudos to them. What they have accomplished is so huge that the average person would never understand. We don't even know how many lives we have saved. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives we have saved by working and continue to work to make this thing work for everyone, you see. Because I know they don't want to say this out loud because Reverend Pinckney is the president and the CEO of the Benhaba Community Water Council. They don't want you to know that we're capable of doing so much with so little, you see. But the bottom line is anybody can do it if they put their mind to it. Everybody got a job to do. Just do your job. That's all. How simple is that? Just do your job. There you go. Wow. Unbelievable. But let's stay focused. Let's make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. Every single day is a fight. We're at war. You see, we've been bombarded all over. Everybody is attacking us. Everybody is attacking us. You see, because they know we're not going to do nothing but fight each other. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, the one and only Minister Ashe, my friend, my guy, who would normally be at the PGA playing his trumpet. That's what we really missed, because I felt that it was so great. I mean, this was one of the greatest Occupy the PGA that we have ever had. And I want to say that all the speakers was good. We had so many good speakers that, you know, we just didn't have room for enough. And we had a lot of folks. I mean, it was, the Death March was, I'm still talking about that. It was a slow death march, and everybody loved it. But Minister, talk to me. Minister, talk to me. I'm here.
Reverend Pinckney. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So glad to be on the show. I was at the first death march when we had the casket, and we did this a couple of years ago.
Couldn't make the
last one, but I remember us carrying the casket, and
mm-hmm.
that time to this time, you've still been on the job, and I really appreciate you and love you and all the people in Banco and all the people that are in Benton Harbor that have been working so tirelessly to fight what's going on, the gentrification process, the big corporations taking over, and all the other things. They're taking the water, taking everything that they can take. You know, And you're a prime example of what's happening all over the country. It's not just at Benton Harbor. It's everywhere. I live in South Linden in Columbus, Ohio, and you should see how they have gentrified South Linden. People that used to live in the suburbs, because the gas prices are so high, came down into the quote-unquote black community and have bought up all the houses. And every empty lot that was here, except for the in my neighborhood, except for the lot that my wife and I own beside our house, they bought all the empty lots and they're building houses on them. And they are coming back. They're coming back down into the community, and they have gentrified, or in the process of gentrifying, just like they did Harlem, New York, where Queen Mother lives. So the gentrification process is all over the country, and everybody is doing the best they can, fighting whatever way they can to try and hold on to the little property that we got and trying to do what we got to do. I just so happen to own my home. My wife and I, we own the home. It's paid for. So we're in a lot better shape than a lot of people. But a lot of these homes were passed down from the grandparents and parents to the children, and they sold the homes cheap. And now the people that sold the homes, they can't even afford to move back into the houses that their grandparents and parents used to own. If I sold this house and moved out, I could not afford to buy it back and live in it. And that's how bad it is in terms of the gentrification process.
Wow.
You know, so that's basically what's happening all over the United States of America. The people in the suburbs who ran out of the inner cities to the suburbs are now running back into inner cities where all the services are, close to downtown, close to their jobs, close to the hospitals, all that stuff. You know, we have like 7 accesses to the freeway here. I can be on the freeway and go anywhere in the country. I'm one minute to the freeway, and I've got 7 entrances I can get on, 71 north and south. I'm 5 minutes to the Ohio State University by car. I can walk to Ohio State in 15 minutes, the largest land-grant university in the country. I'm 10 minutes from the airport, Port Columbus, John Glenn International Airport. I'm 10 minutes to the airport. I'm 5 minutes to downtown. I'm 10 minutes to the Eastern Center. So I'm right here in the heart of everything in South Linden, and guess who wants to buy all these property? They call me every day. I want to buy your house. Send me letters. Send me contracts. Let me buy your house. Well, they don't want to buy it. They want you to give it to them for little or nothing. And then
right,
where are you going to
right.
go? Where are you going to go with $70,000, $80,000? Where are you going to go with that little bit of money? You know, if I sell this house for $70,000, it's a double house. If I sell it, they'll push the price up to $400,000.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's happening all over the country. And today we had a block party at the Linden Rec Center, and we talked about the police department, the Columbus Police, and all the people that have been murdered by the Columbus Police Department, including my brother, Calvin Lewis Reynolds, back in 1982. And all the police got away. They got paid vacations. None of them have ever been prosecuted until recently when we got the black chief of police, the woman from Detroit. She's the new chief of police here, and she brought her deputy, a black woman, too. So we got a black chief of police, a black woman, and her deputies, the assistant chief. And they prosecuted the white cop that killed Mr. Casey, and they're prosecuting the Franklin County Sheriff's Office cop that killed the other boy. So, but for the last 80 years, 90 years, they never prosecuted a white cop for killing a black person, never.
And
so,
they probably never will, you know. And the strange thing about that, here's something, a shade that we're missing the boat on. When it comes to policing, the community should be the one telling the police how to complete, how to police the community. And the police shouldn't be telling the community how they're going to police the community. The community should be telling the police how to police the community. And I think that's where we dropped the ball. We're their boss. You see, we don't get that. They want everybody to believe that they're the boss. They're not in control. Even these courthouses, as racist as they are, and I have to say this, you know, I don't condone violence at all. But somebody needs to do something about these blind judges and how they have destroyed the black community. And they're part of the blame of all these shootings. See, black people, they don't want to go and attack white folks. They want to attack black folks because it's easier to get away with killing black people. So we got to think the problem here.
The African American community. Last year, 2021, they prosecuting one Columbus police cop for killing a black man who had a cell phone in his hand, and another cop who shot a young black man in the back. And this is the first time that any of the cops have ever been fired and charged with killing a black person in the 100 years of the Columbus Police Department.
Wow.
So that's something. So now we're making some progress. But like you said, we're at war. And the problem is that most of our folks, the African-American community, the black folk, most of us don't realize that we're in a war.
Right.
They think we're on a picnic field when we're really on a battlefield. They don't understand.
No, they don't understand. And then they get complacent. You know, police ain't shot me. I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing, and it's okay. But he shot the guy next door. That don't concern me. But it do concern you because you could easily be next. Mm-hmm.
Could be next. And then you got the white racist people, like the shooting in Buffalo, New York. White racist guy went up there and shot the people at the supermarket. And you got the white racist. I talked yesterday at the rally to expose the police at the block party we had at the Linden Recreation Center, which is in North Linden. Brother Green was there. Brother Green was walking down the street with his father in Dayton, Ohio, a couple years ago, when a white boy in body armor pulled out a machine gun and shot his father 5 times right in front of him and killed him. And he killed 9 other people there in Dayton, Ohio. So Brother Green didn't get shot because his father took all the bullets. So he was there. He spoke at the rally on yesterday here in Columbus at the Linden Recreation Center. He's from Dayton, Ohio. And he told the horrific tale of watching his father die right in front of him.
Wow,
huge. So not only the cops are doing it, but now you got more and more these so-called white people who are watching Fox News and listening to Marietta Green from Georgia and Donald Trump and all these people. They listen to these people. The replacement theory is what they call it. Talking about Jews will not replace us. Blacks will not replace us. You know, so basically these people have lost their mind. They possessed by demons and devils that are hard to comprehend. You know, these people are demon possessed. And then they're the one. So, I mean, these people are, and the gun thing here in Ohio, now it's not like that in Michigan, on Monday the 13th of June of this year, the law goes into effect in Ohio where you will not need a concealed carry permit to carry a gun if you're over 21. So that means that anybody can go into a gun shop or a store that sells guns or trade fair, buy a gun if they're 21 or over, put it in a pocket with no training, no license, and carry a concealed pistol or whatever. Isn't that something?
Wow.
That was signed into law by the governor. Yes. So here in Ohio, and that's 20 plus other states have the same kind of laws, but I don't think y'all have that in Michigan yet.
No, they definitely don't have it in Michigan. Most likely you probably don't get it here. But
you have it in Ohio because Ohio
has that means that anybody anybody could carry a gun, regardless whether they're a felon or not, or what?
Well, they say if you have a felony, you're not supposed to have a gun, which is a lot of black men ain't gonna be able to do it, but there's not very much of a background check. Even if you have a felony, you can still go get a gun, and if you're carrying it, the cop ain't gonna know you got a felony or not. So at 21 or over, you can buy a gun. You know, it used to be you go downtown to the county building, Franklin County building, and you had to pay for your registration money to the county. You required to have so many weeks of training, and you had to earn your concealed carry permit. Not no more. They passed a law that says they've done away with all that. The county's losing money, and even all the police unions oppose it, because now they got it. So if the cop stops you, you ain't even got to tell him you got a gun.
Right.
That's what the law
right.
says. So you can carry a pistol under your coat in your pocket. The cop stops you. He don't know if you got a gun or not. So that's going to be a lot more shootings here in Ohio, because people are going to be shooting like crazy. It's going to be like Dodge City here in Ohio, state of Ohio. So, but the Republican governor, the Republican legislature passed it in the House and the Senate, and then Governor DeWine, the governor of Ohio, signed it into law, and it took 21 days. And on Monday, the 21 days is up. It becomes law on the 21st of this month, on the 13th of this month, which is Monday coming.
Next Monday
coming, it'll be law.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to Ohio, Reverend Pinckney, and buy you a gun, put it in your pocket, walk anywhere you want. Ain't nobody know you got a gun. It was already an open carry state. It was already an open carry state where you could carry your gun openly. Now you can carry it concealed. Concealed or open, it don't make no difference. 21 over, and you don't need no permit, no training. People going to be buying guns that don't even know how to shoot, you know?
Yeah.
So here's somebody going to – some people go buy a gun, put it in their pocketbook or put it in their purse or in their pocket. They liable to shoot themselves.
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
They don't know how to handle a gun. They don't – no training is required anymore. So after Monday, anybody 21 or over without a felony can buy a gun and carry it. So that's going to be a hell of a thing, because, you know, somebody pull out their gun on somebody, other people got guns that are concealed. They're going to pull out, there's going to be shootouts at the malls, shootout at the supermarkets, shootout downtown, shootouts everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
but we at war.
So that's the,
what most people ain't realizing, all they do is let you know that we're at war. And you know, a lot of black folks got these felonies. They not going to be carrying. They still going to be carrying guns. It's just going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know.
That's all it's going to be.
Absolutely. Remember, see, the thing is, the message that we should be spreading. Well, you know, we're at war. The only thing we're just not fighting the war. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, I gotta let you go. But you got a minute to tell everybody what you want them to know, and then I got to move on.
Well, I don't know if this is good news or not, but, you know, when the children of Israel, you know, I'm a minister, as you are, Reverend.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When the children of Israel got out of, the Hebrew Israelites got out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea like on dry land, they was headed toward the Promised Land, but because they refused knowledge and they refused to do the right thing and refused to follow the Most High in the Hebrew tongue, Yahweh, the living Elohim. They refused to follow God. They had to walk around in the wilderness 40 years.
Mm.
So I'm awful afraid that this is the same prophetic warning, 1919, when they brought the first black folks over here, when the Igbos and all the big African tribes sold the Hebrew Israelites and we came over here. They took the little young tribes, and then when the white people got stronger, they took the Igbos and the Zulus and everybody else, mixed it together with the Indians, and the black Indians, everybody else. But from 1619 to 2019, that's 400 years. So the 400-year period is over. So we ain't got to worry about that. So we're out of bondage in Egypt. But
there you go.
Looks like we're going to walk until 2060.
There you go.
From 2019 to 2059 is 40 years. So 2060 it seems like we might get it together, but we're getting ready to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years, brother. That's all right.
Well, listen, we'll talk about that next time. Let's keep it moving. Thank you so much for being on the show.
We gotta keep
struggling.
Love
you, man. And give your wife a big hug for me.
I sure will. She's right here.
We
got to keep on fighting, even though we in the wilderness, we got to keep fighting.
There you go, my brother. All right. Let me bring in my next guest from beautiful Kalamazoo. One of the guys. This is the guy who actually wrote the book about the Good Reverend, and a tremendous friend. He also put the casket together for the Death March. Oh, I tell you, that work was huge. That was a beautiful job. I didn't, you know what? I knew he had it in him, you know, because when he do something, he do stuff good. My good friend Phil, talk to me, Phil. Tell me what's going on in your world. Talk to me.
Hey, Reverend.
Hey.
I just want to say, you know, listening in on these conversations, it's sad to me. Because I learn a lot of things that I didn't know. And even, you know, the rally, the death march, listening to all the speakers, all were tremendous speakers. And, you know, it pulls at my heart to hear all these things that go on that I'm not aware of through the normal channels that I go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to hear people on your show, just like the last guy was talking about the person that he knew that got shot, his father got shot 5 times. It's just, I guess, you know, we are at war, but
yeah,
some people are just right in the zone. And one, I wanted to make a comment on something that he said too. You know, that law that's going on in Ohio now. It's to me it plays off the the police. There's a lot of backlash against the police, and maybe this is somewhat of that. But it usually seems like the people in power, they use whatever event happens to bring about what they want. And I guess what they want is chaos. It seems like they want war in the streets because they're just introducing more and more guns, you know, and making it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it kind of seems though the opposite that we really need, you know. But that's the way that
you
stuff
know,
works.
Here's something that, you know, people don't realize. See, if you listen to the news media, the first thing they do, they try to build up the police department to be something that they're not. You know, they, you know, a police officer get shot or get wounded, the whole world stops. You know, a person get shot and killed, nothing. You see, my thing is this: we have to make sure that we hold everybody accountable. This judge got shot and killed in Wisconsin. Now, to me, if you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about being shot by, if you're a judge or prosecutor, if you're doing the right thing. They don't do the right. I would say 95% of all the judges are corrupt.
I
would say that. Yeah, 95% of them is corrupt.
Well, judging from your case,
we're
pretty sure that the appeal level, I mean, they agreed with Berrien County. And they knew all the facts, you know. They must have known at that point that what you were prosecuted with was not even a real law, and it went through to the appeal court. I was actually amazed that the Supreme Court, you know, ruled in your favor. I still can't believe it, to be honest with you.
And matter of fact, they can't believe it either.
But it hasn't resulted in any concrete. Thing, right?
Right. Here's the thing, Phil, that's important. See, the reason why I believe if I was a white person and that happened, they would not say it wasn't a constitutional violation. But black people have there's different laws for black people, you see. They can almost do what they want to do, and they all usually agree on that. See, that's the sad part. When I talk about corrupt judges and stuff like this, they all, you know, they in harmony with each other. You see, they're saying that by sending someone to prison with no charge, serving 3 years in prison is not a constitutional violation. You got to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't read one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either you have never read the Constitution, or you're lying. Let's put it this way. There's no in between. And this is what's going on right now. And we're challenging them on a level that they never been challenged on. Nobody has ever challenged them. Nobody has had a case like mine before. Nobody.
Okay, black
because
or white?
Nobody have taken it this far.
Black or white?
Black or white.
There's no
case law on it at all. Never. And that's because nobody has never taken it this far. That's why they can say what they say and get away with it, because they're saying that there's absolutely no constitutional violation for sending somebody to prison with no charge. I mean, what the? Who talks that way? Who does that?
Yeah.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the thing, like you say, like the way they play them on TV, they make it like they can do no wrong.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
But once you got a little chink in their armor, I think that everything's going to fall apart, and I think that's what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
that you're doing it. You know?
Yeah. I'm doing stuff that nobody has ever done before. I'm telling them on all levels. When I blew the whistle on the governor and this mayor here, you know, people don't do that. People believe what these devils be saying because they are elected officials. Now you know that these folks is lying when they be talking. 99% of them is lying. They're not being, but they're trying to convince you that what they're saying is the truth. And it's unfortunate. So I hate to say this, my brothers doesn't believe that garbage they be saying. They added, the governor said this. She was lying. No, I don't think you lied to her. Yeah, she gonna lie to you, buddy. She for her own purpose, she gonna lie to you. This is what we get, Phil. This is what we get. Until we get better, it's gonna continue just like this. We're at war right now. This is a real war. This is no conflict. But the people got to realize that we're fighting. Everybody got a gun, but the problem is they don't have ammunition like the enemy has.
I got a good analogy, I think. You know, if you think about your family, say, you know, you and I are brothers, and mom and dad, let's say dad's an alcoholic. And I want to tell you that dad's an alcoholic, and you don't want to believe it. Can you imagine the scenario where somebody says, you know, dad's an alcoholic, and all the other brothers and sisters get mad at him because they don't want to admit it, for one thing.
Yeah.
You know,
because
if they admit that he's an alcoholic or a corrupt judge or whatever you want to say, then we got to admit we elected this stooge.
And then we got to deal with it. Phil, that is a perfect analysis, because now I like to give people information. What they do, that information is on them. They can't say they didn't know. They can't say that right now 95% of the judges is not corrupt. They can't say that because I done told them. Whether they believe me or not, that's on them, you see. But when you talk about 95% of the judges is corrupt, that's a true fact. That's black and white. We got this black judge here, Maybelline and Mayfield. She's about as corrupt with these little kids sending them to foster home. They get paid for that, sending them to taking children from their mother. They get paid for all that. See, what black people don't understand is the courthouse is a cash bank, a bank. It's a bank. It's a cash cow, as they call it.
Yeah.
Where they make so much money in the courthouse that they can buy and sell anything they want. And but we don't see it that way. It takes a black person 24 hours just to survive, just to feed their family. It's, I mean, I know, see, the people I'm working with down here, oh, that's another thing, John, before I forget, I'm glad to say, I need you and Charlie to come and work with me one day. So, yeah,
oh,
so
sure.
Don't let me forget that. I'm
okay.
Hoping it'll be this week if you can.
It might be a little, that's going to be tough.
See what you can do. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to make one more comment.
Go ahead.
What I really liked seeing was the one speaker you had, Omali Yeshitila, I think you say his name?
Yeshitila, yes.
Yeshitila, okay.
Yeshitila.
And, you know, what I liked about him was that he was bringing socialism and talking about the whole money system as being the actual problem. Because if we didn't have, you know, I hate to say it, you know, I hate to sound like a commie or something, but, you know, say the communism word, but, you know, people got to become aware that capitalism and the money system, if we somehow eliminated that, look at all the crap we would eliminate along with it. Like you said, the judges are making money for sending little kids to you know, a foster situation
foster
where they're more
care,
likely to get abused.
Send them to juvenile jail. They're making big money off of this. Big money. These folks living high in the hole off our hands. That's what they do, and we let them get away with. But the chairman told a story, boy. But I think they all, they you know, I never had speakers like that on that level where everybody was good. I mean, and everybody told, even Jerry Goldberg, he told Sam Riddle, he told the story. And all of them, every last one of them had a story to tell. Clara, Bishop Jefferson, everybody had a story to tell. And to me, it was so good. I hated to end it. And I wanted O'Malley to go forever because he was laying it out. He told the story all about the gold and how the value of the gold went down. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about that. But the guy is off the chain. I love him. He's my chairman, and I'm so glad he came, and I'm so glad that he could see the work that we do here down in Benton Harbor, you know, and I really, really, really appreciate it. But look, you got the final word, and look, tomorrow I want you to call in on my show. I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about later on, but I want you to call in at 1 o'clock tomorrow, the same number. That would be my special edition tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I want to make sure you call in because we haven't gotten to my book or anything like that you have written. I want to get into that, but in the meantime, I know how you is about the phone too. So, but I know that. But tomorrow at 1 o'clock, come on, you know, 10-15 minutes. Then you can go do whatever job you got to do and do what you got to do. But on that note, I gotta let you go, big fella. I gotta let you go because I know you got a lot to say, but I gotta move on. I got to bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. So hang on. Don't leave me. Hang in there.
Okay.
All right, Phil. Love you, man.
I love
you,
too.
Give the family a big, big hug for me.
I sure will.
All right, then.
Yep.
All right. Let's bring in the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. Is there two Belinda Parker Browns?
Hey, pick me!
What's up?
I am really enjoying the show. Minister Ashe, you got on there. My brother Phil out of Flint, Michigan. Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm sorry.
Yes, indeed.
And Pastor Pickney, you all over the social media. I mean, I can't even go on Facebook or nothing less known. We got the Occupy, the Benton Harbor PGA of Pastor Pickney got all the dynamic speakers out there. And Pastor Pickney, I'm going to tell you, if I could have cloned myself to be in two places at one time, I would have. Because, I was determined and to get there. But my niece that died in a tragic accident in Flint, Michigan, her daughter graduated in South Carolina. So between Atlanta and South Carolina, I was moving up the highway, and I couldn't make it to you in time. So that's what happened, Pastor Pinckney.
All right. But, you know, we had
I miss you all, and I love seeing what you posted on Facebook, and it's just so wonderful. And listen to your speakers today talk about all the tragic things that's happening, you know. But I'm going to tell you, we have a chance in hell, Pastor Pinckney. We have a chance. And I'm going to tell you, they can set all hell on fire, but we are fighting and we are winning because of your you know, people like you that are so fired up, that keep us fired up and keep us fighting back, because you said if we don't fight back, we can't win.
That's right.
So I know that, you know, it's a good day. Today it's a lot going on, but I wanted to let you know what's happening here in Louisiana. We're getting ready to put our governor here in the hot seat. I heard you say that unless we expose these people and what they do, you know, then they kind of like get pushed under the rug, or they run and hide. But, you know, I learned from the best, Pastor Pinckney, which was you, that we have to expose and call these people out, and everything that's done in the dark have to come to the light. And if we don't say something, then what happens is that, you know, people believe the lies that these elected officials tell us, and it's just time out for that. That people are not going to tolerate these lies, and that's what it's all boiling down to. Somebody have to take a stand and speak the truth to power, no matter what the consequences may be. And that's where we're at, Pastor Pinckney, here in Louisiana. We're looking to get our governor, a Democratic governor, that basically flip-flopped, you know, once he got in office, and start trying to push, you know, the Republican agenda through the Democratic committees. And, you know, it's just a sad, sad story that you can't trust none of these people. And I like what you said, that it's not even about, you know, black, white, Republican, Democrat. It's about the people. You know, somebody have to stand up and fight back for the people. I don't know if you remember in Benton Harbor, it was called the White Flight. Do you remember that, Pastor Pinckney?
Oh, that was years ago. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the White Flight was kind of like a red flag for all the white people. They knew that they was getting ready. I believe that they're all responsible, because they knew that they was getting ready to poison the water there in Benton Harbor. And all the white people started moving out and renting their property to, you know, black people, low-income people, you know, and they benefited from that. So it's kind of like it was by design. It's almost like they knew what was coming, and they basically let the water get poisoned, you know, and a lot of people there on dialysis, a lot of people, you know, the kids and stuff have all type of sickness and diseases, and, you know, a lot of birth defects, and, you know what's going on there, Pastor Pinckney, but could it be that people knew what they were getting ready to do, poison the water there?
Oh, well, you know, they're playing, you know, they usually have these 5-year plan. And it probably was in their plan anyway. We the only ones don't plan like that. We live for the day and pray for tomorrow. But what they do is really simple. So, you know,
I remember that, and it really kind of, you know, because Etta Hopper was the one that was trying to, and, you know, you remember when we went to the water plant and we saw all of that, it was like we took pictures of it. Actually, I still have some of the pictures with all of that rust and lead. It was peeling paint and all of that stuff down there in the infirmary where the water, you know, the pipes and stuff were. And they tried to keep us from going in there. They didn't want us to take cameras and stuff in there at that particular time. And I remember that, Pastor Pinckney, you was there, and we was basically trying to expose that back. I'm trying to think what year that was. It was like in the early 90s that we was trying
very
to expose.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, and I remember. And since Ann Arbor, there have never been another elected official who has actually stood up to these people and made sure that we got what we need in order to fight. There's never been one another one. They so scared of their shadow. They won't even. What y'all gonna be talking about? What y'all gonna be voting on? I can't tell you that. How come you can't tell us that? You know.
Now
they can say a lot of things about Mary Alice, but she tried.
Mm-hmm.
We can work with her, but Juanita Henry, we can't. We know she for over 10 years she's been lying to me and did exactly nothing. She played both sides of the fence. Ron Singleton,
right,
I need the
Hill, same one,
play
both sides of the
him.
Fence, you know.
Right.
I had
no business supporting him. Edward Isom, he don't have no backbone, you know. Then you got Seats, he's a drunk. You know, what you want a drunk on
and Leroy Harvey, all those people, they was looking out for themselves, you know, for
all
what
they
can get in.
That's what they do.
On it. And
that's
then
they
was
do.
The ones who basically got behind, you know, that Slick Willie Marcus, you know, we can't call him Muhammad no more. But,
no,
you know.
No, he's Marcus Singer, Soundboy of the Year. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope my letter Seats is right behind me because she should.
And her son. Them twins,
yeah.
Them her son. You see, they ain't no mother son.
Both
them
right.
They're identical twins. That's what they are.
Yeah, Salbo one and a half. That's what they need to be, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Wow.
So, Pastor Pinckney, I just want to say congratulations to a fantastic rally, and and I'm looking forward to next year. I'm gonna try to work my schedule where nobody will interrupt that. But I sure am so happy that it was a success, and you all on social media right now everywhere, and I'm just sharing like crazy and telling everybody to go and view. And I know I heard Phil mention that Chairman O'Malley was, he was just, he put the nail right in the coffin when he talked about, you know, the capitalism and where the money, and how these people have always never intended to really do anything for us, and we're going to have to do it for ourselves. But exposing them and letting them know that we know what they have done, and they're not going to get away with it, Pastor Pinckney.
Absolutely. And all they do is with little diverges, everything, you know, they even the pandemic, everything they do is a divergence. See, this is what we don't get. They're not going to do nothing for the people to help you, me, or nobody. Even they're not going to do nothing to help white folks. You know, the elite got this thing so bad, they got what they call white folks fighting with black folks, so that way they don't have to do no fighting. But look, I got to let you go. it's going down, and I want people to know that Ukrainian war that they talking about, you know, that was engineered by this government. The United States of America did that. That's their war, really. Because actually, they're financing that war. They done sent billions and billions and billions of dollars to them, and then they got them coming over here. They're going to have a half a million of them right here because they're not making babies fast enough. So they, like I said, you won't replace us. So they bring in some new folks to fight for them. And those are some of the most racist people in the world, them Ukrainians. They're Nazis, they're all that. But look, I gotta go.
Right,
I gotta
right, Pastor Pinkney. Well, I'm looking forward to coming down there and seeing you real soon. You and Dorothy, you know, I love the colors that y'all had at the rally and that royal blue and white. I saw you with your little tam walking around.
Yeah, it
was great, Pastor Pinkney. Yes, indeed.
Talk to you later,
right
Linda
now.
Parker Brown. All right now.
Okay now.
All right, that's my good friend, but Linda Parker Brown. Let me bring in James because I know he got something to say. So let's hear what he got to say. Talk to me, James.
What's going on, Reverend Pinkney? Well,
it's going
you know,
down.
I hear
that's
my,
all
I hear
going down.
But we're not winning, and we're not going to win. When we got 80% of the blacks in this country is against us, it's hard to win. See, when you're doing good, 80% blacks are evil. That's a real war right there. You know, I've been talking on your show since the first time, speaking about the execution of that six-year-old baby boy. Not one time I ever heard a black woman come on 9-10 or your show. They act like they don't believe it. Pull it up on YouTube. Last weekend in Detroit, down at Belle Isle, someone drove a car onto the beach, on the sand, and run over a 12-year-old girl and her sister that's 14 years old, killed the 12-year-old, a hit and run on the sand. There was two Arabic girls. Do you know 9-10 spoke about that and won't talk about the six-year-old that got killed by an Arab? I mean, I couldn't believe it, what I heard. It's a black young man hit the two young girls. And when they caught him, because it was a hit and run, they had him on TV being arraigned, he said it was demons talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you might find that hard to believe, but that's what's going on with a lot of this killing down here. They're smoking this marijuana. Somebody's putting fentanyl on it. So it's messing with your brain. It's telling you things you normally wouldn't think, you see. Plus, they're taking pills, drinking, all of this mixture together with this new pill is called a blue pill. Now, who is designing all of these pills all of a sudden? You see, all of these foreigners come to this country, and they get to go to college free, and they're taking up science. Now you see where this is going? No foreigners are hooked on drugs. But if you go on YouTube and you type in 60 Minutes did a special, 60 Minutes on heroin in, what is that country? Afghanistan. They never aired it on TV, but they aired it on YouTube. You will see all of these poppies, the whole poppy field. And if you look down to the right corner, you're going to see big bales and bundles of United States currency wrapped up. You got other foreign currency too, but the other one says, that's United States currency. You see what I'm saying? Now, if they go on YouTube also and go on YouTube also and type in Kensington, Philadelphia, look at all the heroin users that's living on the streets. And the street look like a landfill with trash. They're shooting up in the streets on broad daylight. Just take a needle and shoot in the arm or the leg. And they were bent over straight and won't fall because they nod out. But you don't see no foreigners hooked on heroin, only black and white.
So now,
Al Sharpton don't talk about that because he's tied in with the president of this country. So now, one black radio host said, well, Al Sharpton got a direct line to the White House. But I guess he do not have enough guts to say, Mr. President, you promised the black race of peoples if they voted for you, you would do something for them. You have done not one thing yet. Every executive order, when he took office, he did for every race but the black race. And 9-10 black radio hosts was put together to make sure blacks lost the city of Detroit. Not one pastor ever came to the Charter Commission meeting for the citizens of Detroit. I know, because I went to all of them. Not one black pastor that's a male. One female showed up one time, a female pastor. Sam Reynolds never would go. Bankole never would go until they realized they was finna lose the city. Then they want to go and act like they can defend them. Bankole, as much as he talk on the radio, did not ever, ever get up and speak at the meeting. They gave anybody who wanted to speak 2 minutes. Sam never got up and never spoke. You would have thought Sam and Bankole had Gorilla Glue on their lips as chapstick. They never spoke. But you can't shut them up on the radio. On Sam's show, Joanne Underwood had got a death threat. Sam announced it on his show. No, not one black woman called in to defend her. I called in and defended her. So now she exposed a lot of stuff that was going on in Detroit. Then she took a payoff. She sold her soul. Then she redid. She didn't want to do what they wanted her to do. So now they took her off the radio. You don't hear nothing about all of these black kids coming up missing in Detroit on the west side. None of that. None of the rotten food that's being sold in the grocery stores in black neighborhoods. You don't hear that. The other black radio hosts won't talk about it. Because if they talk about it, they got to give back the money that they accepted. The last mayor election in the city of Detroit, Brenda Hill received a death threat because she took money too. And she was one of my best friends. See, I'm telling on all of them because they sold their peoples out. And I know she can't deny it because her best friend, Nicole Small, sent the text out. I got the text too, and it's on my phone. If she want to dispute that, go right ahead, Brenda, because every night you come on Mondays only, the only thing come out of your mouth, you got to vote, you got to vote. Well, you received a death threat. Your life ain't more than voting. Why don't you tell the black people, let's have the right to live first. Voting will come later on because you got to be a certain age to vote. But what age do you have to be to ask for the right to live?
Mm.
Nobody want to push the right to live that's black.
Mm.
Nobody black want to push the right to live. They fall on Al Sharpton. That's what got the black race messed up right now. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton. If you pull up the video on YouTube, Curtis Mayfield sung a song. He made it called The New World Order. But put it in The New World Order, the video. He's showing a civil rights struggle in the 60s. And Jesse Jackson is nowhere in that video. Later on, Al Sharpton is nowhere in that video because he knew those two were sellouts. He knew it. But you see the other right, civil rights activists in the video. That was not a sellout. It's called Curtis Mayfield, A New World Order Video. And then pull up the true story of Curtis Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's 41 minutes long. He's going to tell you about the struggle in the 60s. Once again, you won't see Jesse Jackson nowhere in none of these videos. They all sellouts, and we are too. And I know we're out of time, so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. And listen. Tomorrow we're going to have a special edition of Reverend Pinckney the Pinckney Show at 1 o'clock. You can call in on the same number, and we will definitely be doing the things that need to be done. Everybody, my good friend Phil, I definitely want you to call in tomorrow. Make sure you call in. And we plan on having a great show again tomorrow, so make sure you tune in, and let's see where we're at. God bless you. God keep him. Talk to you soon. All right now. Goodbye and talk. Have a great night.